I've been looking for a good masseuse.
She gets deep.
Yeah, good.
She's a small woman, but she can really get in.
They know how to work their hands and actually use their weight and stuff like that. Like, it doesn't take much, bro. I mean, you can use an elbow.
She uses elbows.
Good.
But what she also does is moves different body parts and gets to the point where she can get inside your shoulder blade. Okay. Right. Dude. So yeah, she's amazing. But other than that, she's just the sweetest lady you ever met.
Cool. Right on, man.
So she was excited. She was really grateful for a potential plug for advertising. But
have you been going here for a while?
That's the only person I went to when I lived out here.
So it's been some time.
Yeah, but anytime I come back, I'm right on a calendar.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually that leads to a good question. Let's talk about recovery, right? And your focus around that. Mm-hmm. Massage obviously is very important in recovery, stretching, recovery, all that fun stuff. So what does that look like to you? Are you on a every month cadence? I know you're, not only active in the gym, but you're, busy on the road, you're traveling, you're doing stuff. So how do you kind of incorporate that in your routine?
Well, what's funny is when you get to be my age, a lot of my peers now in work are much older than I am.
Sure.
And it's we all get on calls and, the conversation is, I got a doctor's appointment here or, recovering from this back injury, or everybody's talking about how broken they are.
Yep.
Right. And my body's broken from all the sports that I did for so long.
Right.
And, with the amount of travel, sitting in a desk, I'm constantly hunched over, never sleeping comfortably in beds when I'm on the road. So one of the first things I do before I leave for a trip is schedule an appointment with my massage therapist.
Okay.
So right when I get back, if I land before 5 p.m. or right around there, I go straight to her. So, a lot of what I do now is more about pain management.
Yep.
And
good.
A lot of quick muscle recovery. So I'm doing the contrast therapy three times a week.
Okay.
So contrast, is hot to cold is the definition of it, but it's the infrared sauna and then cold plunge. So 10 minutes in the infrared, 3 minutes in the cold plunge, two rounds of that. And I really like to do that right after a workout. So what's great about the gym I go to is you have the area where you have all the gym weights and all the equipment. And then you have the physical therapist who I work with as well. And then the massage therapist and then the contrast therapy. So it's all under one roof.
All at your gym?
Yeah.
Dude, I wish they had that where I was at.
Yeah. And now they got meal prep.
No way.
Yeah. Well,
so you're probably paying a premium for the membership. It sounds like it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's all the essentials.
Well, I was mentioning my wife's meal prep.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's so, right.
But it's an investment in yourself.
Yep.
And there's not a day that goes by where I'm not in pain. And it's just more about where are you at with the pain.
Right.
And I hover around a six, but if I'm doing all of my training and all of the the contrast therapy with the physical therapy and the massage therapy, I can get that down to a two or three on a 1 to 10 scale. So
where is this? Where, when you say pain, where is this? Is this just everywhere, or obviously the most common is lower back, knees, shoulders, just from being hunched over, is it mainly?
Well, I have five herniated discs and one bulging. Sure. And it goes all the way from my neck all the way to my lower lumbar.
From sports?
Probably. Wear and tear. I was playing 70 basketball games a year, a summer when I was a young kid.
Right.
From 13 to 17 AAU basketball. In 3 months, we were playing 70 games.
Wow.
So I got to imagine that all the bouncing on the court for years and years was a catalyst for the injury to my back, lower back. And then, the neck, I don't know where that came from. It could have been from football. It could have been from not lifting weight correctly. Not proper form technique. Those who know that I'm obsessed with golf will probably say, oh, it's because, you swing so violently. It's probably why your neck hurts. But, it's just wear and tear.
Yeah.
You know, when you're younger, you don't think about the repercussions or the damage that you're doing to your body later in life. And now I'm paying for it. Yeah. So what I try to explain to people now is working out. It's not for going to the beach and looking good on the beach. You know, that gives you confidence and self-esteem. But working out, it should be very spiritual for you. Because you got to protect that.
I love that. What a good way to put it. It's true, man. It's true. Because you only get one body, right?
Yeah. Wow. That's what they say. But, you know, there's some synthetics out there going on. So if I could have talked to my younger self, mm-hmm. you know, which I'm doing to my nephew now,
right?
You know, trying to get him to understand the importance of stretching.
Yep.
And not just going through the motions, but setting up a routine. In that full body stretch, not just before, but after the game as well.
Yep.
The importance of ice and heat after, you know, either, you know, a tournament or a game or whatever the case may be. So I'm trying to teach him how to learn, you know, body recovery and putting together techniques and routines that he can use throughout his life.
Yep.
So he's a much more talented athlete than I was. So I want him to make sure that, you know, if he takes care of his body right, that's his paycheck.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, think about it, man. I mean, how many of these athletes nowadays do you hear about, like your LeBrons, your Derrick Henrys, these guys that have been in the league and their profession for so long, but they invest like $1 million or close to into their body outside of their sport. Yeah. And I couldn't agree with you more, man. Like the recovery piece is just, I mean, to your point, like I know in my earlier days, like you don't feel it necessarily, but you do, but it doesn't like prolong because then you can bounce back when mm-hmm. you're younger. But I swear, man, when you get to like, I don't even know what the age was, but like, you know, 30s, it's just like stuff just starts to hurt more and more and more. And I mean, that's why I'm a firm believer, man. Like when I wake up in the morning, like the first thing I do is like a dynamic warm up. Like I'm doing crunches, I'm doing leg lifts, I'm doing just air squats, I'm doing just anything, just get the blood going and then go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the night, I always try to end on the floor and then I foam roll or I'll stretch or I'll just use like a racquetball and just have that. I don't know. I was listening to a podcast. I think it was, he was on Huberman and I think it was Andy Galpin. But he said like, if there's one takeaway, like the best way to foam roll is using one of those balls and just that's it. Because if you focus on, if you just roll that and then when you really feel the pain in a certain spot, just spend time on that and just roll there. So
well, my massage therapist said today that she's got a love-hate relationship with her foam roller.
I'm sure. Yeah.
You know, I have more of a love relationship with my
it's not sponge. Always fun. Because
I got the sponge foam roller, I got the one that's kind of a mix between, and then I got the plastic one.
Yeah.
So the plastic one is when you start doing those quads and the upper thigh, it is immensely painful. But it's like a balloon. You know, you have a full balloon and then you're just squeezing all that air out. You're just squeezing all of those toxins out. And, you know, myofascial release is something that I'm very, I would say, empowered by, encouraged by. It's something that I really believe in. Because if you do like a 45-minute myofascial release from, you know, head to toe,
mm-hmm.
you're burning as many calories as you would if you were to walk on a treadmill for an hour.
Yeah. Is that right?
So the good thing is,
I did not know that.
Yeah, it puts your body in a metabolic state where you're now in that fat burning stage.
Right.
So if you do a 45-minute foam roll and do like a 25-minute weightlifting session, you're going to get far more results than if you were to just do like a, you know, mile walk on the treadmill and then, you know, 35, 40 minutes of strength training. So, you know, if you can start implementing the foam roller, you know, before or after your workouts or both, you know, you're going to see less pain and a speedier recovery.
Yeah.
So all these things, you know, you don't learn about that in high school. You don't learn about that when you're training with your buddies.
No, because it turns into like early days. It's like an ego fest, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, let's just push right way around. And then you realize like, man, it's not how it's supposed to be done. Yeah. You know, that's not Well, let me ask you this. So, you're in your 40s.
Okay. 44.
44.
And a half.
Okay. You don't look 44. Do you feel 44?
Some days I do. Some days I don't.
What's kind of been like throughout the years, man? Obviously, you're very active. Like, you're a big golfer. You know, you golf. I mean, probably more than any of my friends and stuff like that, and still manage to, you know, have a personal life, a family life, hobbies outside of that. And then also, you know, you're really focused on, you know, career, and then your outside investment, stuff like that. So how do you juggle all of it, man? How do you stay disciplined in the gym? How do you stay, you know, disciplined and intentional like every single day? Cause I know you're busy, bro. I know you're busy. Every time I talk to you, I mean, you're go, go, go. But like, you also do a really good job of being present. Like, when we're around each other, you're pretty good about that.
Yeah.
So what's like your mindset around that?
Well, at home, it's a lot easier when I'm not on the road. You know, I can stick to a routine.
Okay.
So I have, I'm at the gym Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Okay.
But I don't need a trainer. You know, I've been lifting weights and I've been in gyms for, you know, 25 years. But I need the trainer. You know, now as I've gotten older, I need it for, you know, more of an accountability partner.
Yep.
And, you know, I think everybody can relate to the fact when you go to a big box gym like a Crunch or you know, Anytime Fitness or whatever, you can go in with a plan. You got your routine that you want to hit.
Yep.
But, you know, Mondays, everybody's on the bench. You can't find a bench. So what really is unique about the setup I have at this gym now is I don't have to think about a workout. I get there, I go.
Yep.
And it's 30 minutes of hell. So, you know, knowing that I also, if I have to miss an appointment, I got to pay for it. You know, there's a cancellation fee and it's a full payment of what it would cost if I was actually there. So
is it like a group hit class you do?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
I do one-on-one hit. And okay. My wife actually joins me a couple times a week as well.
Oh,
so
love that. Cool.
And what was cool is, you know, she was a big time CrossFitter back in the day.
Yep.
You know, her first CrossFit competition she ever entered, she took fifth place.
That's impressive.
Yeah, she's not human.
Yeah.
But you know, as you get older and you know you're married, you know, life changes a bit, and you want to make sure that you can do things with your companion. So what got us into this gym was the contrast therapy, because we really started to like that, you know, the ice plunge stuff and, you know, the infrared sauna and things like
Dude,
that.
Plug your gym. Yeah. What's the name of your gym?
Well, it's in Tampa. So I don't know. It's Serious Gym over in Tampa.
Yep. Sweet.
Corey is the owner and trainer out there.
Sweet.
But, and he's a hell of a guy.
Cool.
You know, he's the reason why I want to go a lot of times, because, you know, I'll be in meetings from 8 to 6 and I have to run to the gym. And I have to vent. I want to get things off my chest and just want to talk to somebody who's not my dog.
Yep.
And, you know, he makes it.
I'm going
to. My dog. But so Corey, you know, because of his personality, I don't want to disappoint him. You know, I want to work hard because I know his reputation as a CrossFitter. He's also done Ironman. So
cool.
I don't think he's human either. But so having that accountability factor, having the workouts already, you know, provided for me, so I just go.
Cool.
Right. And what's funny about it is I've been doing this for, you know, with Corey for 5 months or so, and I feel like every time I leave there I'm dead, just exhausted. And I told Corey the other day, I said, am I making any progress here? Because every time I leave it, why was that so hard? Am I not improving? And he's like, no, I'm increasing your workload, I'm just not telling you. So yeah, he's doing that messaging.
Don't you love that, bro?
Yeah.
The placebo effect, or I wouldn't say that. That's probably not more of the placebo effect, but it's just like, you've heard it. Like,
yeah.
People that get blindfolded and they're told that they're doing weights and stuff like that, and they're lifting way heavier than they realize. Right. Your mindset can change big time.
Yeah. But, you know, the other thing is I'm not influenced by results.
Mm.
I rarely get on a scale. You know, okay. I rarely look in the mirror. And the only way I know if I'm making any improvements is by the way my clothes are fitting. So it's a good thing that the clothes are getting baggier. But it's a bad thing because all my work clothes I have to keep on hand. So not necessarily a bad thing, but
yeah,
you know, it's about what's the bigger goal? What's the big picture? What do I want out of health and wellness? And reality is, you know, longevity, you know, and say health is wealth and family is first. But if my health isn't good, how am I going to be good to anybody else? So I want to be able to hit the ball 300 yards when I'm 70 years old. And, you know, I want to be able to continue to, you know, play sports with my niece and my nephew. So I want to be able to lead by example. And, you know, that's another reason why I really want to show them.
Yep.
This is how you take care of yourself. You don't want to be old and broken like I am, because it's a small fortune, you know, to maintain everything once you start, you know, you got a bad knee, you know, it's a bad back. It's all connected. You know, one thing starts going bad, you start overcompensating that. Next thing you know, now another injury happens. So, you know, the injuries, that's the hard thing when you get older is, you know, you got to step away. You can't push through. You can't rub dirt on it and say, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to tough it out. You have to take that mental step back and say, let my body recover, and injuries will happen, and staying positive about it. Cause there's plenty of things you can do if you have a pulled hamstring or, you know, you have
more do upper body and do others for sure.
Yeah. You can find some kind of cardio you could do, or you could do body weight. You could do push-ups. You can do pull-ups. You know, a lot of the body weight stuff you can do with all kinds of injuries without making the injuries worse. So it's about being consistent. So, you know, when I get on the road, you know, just today I went to iCryo and I wanted to try out that cryotherapy, mostly because it was free for the first try.
Nice.
And, you know, I wanted to know, have a real perspective on, you know, what's the difference between the ice plunge and the cryo. And, you know, with the ice plunge, it is so mentally challenging to say, I'm going to go ahead and sit in that ice cold water for 3 minutes. It hurts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that first 30, 45 seconds, it knocks the wind out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just trying to, you know, remain in the water and stick it through. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. So if I go once a week, that next week, I know how hard it's going to be to get in that pool. But if I'm in there, you know, 3 days in a week, that next week, it's so easy to jump back in.
Yeah.
So you condition your body by creating those habits. And I love that cold plunge. That cold plunge, you know, normally when I get home from the gym, I have to lay on my beanbag and, you know, put a few ice packs on. And, you know, that's how I treat my back. But if I'm able to do the ice plunge, you know, I get home, I sleep well.
That's good, dude.
Yeah.
That's good.
And that's the other big thing.
Yeah.
You know, with you know, the amount of travel that I do, I'll find, you know, like I said today, I found the iCryo, or I'll find a gym and get a day pass or pay, you know, whatever the charge is. You know, most of the hotels I stay at, the gyms are functional. They're not great.
Yeah.
But based on the style of exercises that Corey has taught me, if they have one cardio machine and they have free weights, you know, I can do something similar that he taught me. So I'll do, you know, 24-minute exercise and, you know, mix it up with, like, you know, 3 8-minute EMOMs, and I'll be dead. You know, I'll really have a great workout. And the good thing about that, you know, I accomplish something in the morning. I go to my meetings and I have a really good mindset going into it. So it's really easy, you know, to make the excuse, well, I'm traveling.
Yeah.
And if you let the travel be an excuse, you can let anything else be an excuse when you come back. So, you know, the more days that I can put into the gym means the less pain I'm going to be in throughout the week.
Yeah.
So I hate to say it, but it's more like operating out of fear of, you know, if I don't go, what kind of pain am I going to be in?
Right.
Right.
Right. No, and I couldn't agree more, man. I've been traveling more for work as well. And it's like every time I'm like, okay, how can I like make time to work out? How can I make sure that I'm not going to skip my fitness and stuff like that while I'm Because it is hard, man. I mean, traveling with jet lag, it's new surroundings, sleep. It is tough. But like to your point, man, like if you really just try to stay disciplined and you can get a lot done in 20, 30 minutes. You really can. And what a difference does that make for the rest of the day, that how you're feeling, you know what I mean? And it's like, you can also, it's like, okay, I traveled, but I also like, at least I got in 20, 30 minutes. That's a win, bro. If you travel, if you boarded a plane and then you're in a new spot and you actually got 20, 30 minutes of exercise, like that is a win. I don't care what you did. If you go for a walk, even that's a win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do something, kind of activity. Would you say that's like a, cause I mean, people who don't know, you're up there in the org chart, you're a high level executive. You've been at your, you know, in your role for a long time now. So you got big boy responsibilities, right? What would you say, like, have you noticed an impact on your everyday stress when there's days that you've maybe been lacking in your fitness and you maybe,
oh yeah,
put, you know what I mean? So maybe things pile up, like stuff happens, right? But have you noticed a difference on days that you're like, maybe take some time for yourself and still work out and then get back to work? And then days that you miss, like, have you noticed a difference in those kind of months, weeks, whatever it may be?
Yeah. You could probably get that question answered by my wife.
Yeah.
she knows how irritable I get. So, you know, it's not manual labor that I'm doing, but it's a real mental gymnastics and being in meetings. And, you know, we solve very complex big business problems through the use of technology. So,
right.
There's a lot of personalities, there's a lot of systems in place. And if you take your eye off the ball, somebody's going to pick it up. So, you know, in order to stay completely focused, you know, I have to make sure that I'm in the right mindset going into the workday. And there are those days where, you know what, let me just go ahead and get some sunshine, get that vitamin D. I'll lay out on my deck for a little while, or I'll go for a walk in the neighborhood. Depending on how hot it is or how humid it is in Florida. Sometimes you go on those walks and it's hot and humid, it takes the energy out of you.
Right.
So, you know, you really got to figure out what kind of weather is out there. And if it's bad weather, let me just lay out the deck for a little bit. But that sunshine, you know, it goes back to that Huberman lab,
yep.
The morning routine.
Yep.
You know, main thing I do every morning, you know, I'm not popping coffee. I have minerals that I pour in my water.
Oh, same.
Yes. Yep. So I'll refill the minerals.
People don't know, like, salt. Put salt in your water.
Yeah.
Like, drink salt. It's good for you.
Yeah.
If you're tired, drink salt and drink creatine. If you're tired, you know that, right, too?
Oh, yeah.
On creatine. Yeah. Yeah, dude, the positive effects with creatine. Like, everyone used to think, I mean, including myself, that it's just pure just for muscle gains and stuff like that, and it helps with water weight. No, it's like there's a lot of good benefits of creatine, postpartum even,
yeah,
stuff like that. So I'm glad you're drinking this, dude. You're killing it, man.
Well, you know, the thing that I don't like though about the minerals is, who knew that salt would be so expensive to add to your water just to give it a little flavor?
Yeah,
you know, I'm not gonna plug what we use, but man, you know, it's for a dozen of those bad boys, it's a cost of a couple of 12 packs of beer.
Yeah.
You know,
when you don't drink it.
Which I don't.
No. That's been how long now?
4 years, but okay, with a caveat.
I know the caveat. All right. Yes. Okay. So, let's talk about that.
Well, you know, I quit 4 years ago after our member desk tournament, the one where we came in third place.
Yep.
And I was sick as a dog. And my partner likes to take the pitch. He took a picture of where the golf ball was, and it was just right on the rough fairway. You know, it was a weird lie, and I hit it a hair fat. Hit the rocks near the green, went out of bounds. That's how we lost. So my buddy likes to send me that picture every year as a, you know, remembrance.
Is this our, mutual friend?
You probably remember Casey, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know Casey. Yep.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Richie for some reason, but no, that makes sense.
No, Richie's not that. not that much of a jerk. but I don't know what hit me. I mean, I was pretty sick because I did it to myself. That whole member guest week, we were drinking heavily. Yeah. And then the last day I killed my immune system. So I decided, you know what? I'm 40 now. It's not healthy for me to be drinking like that. And it's not like I was drinking excessively, but on the golf course, I was having 5 beers, 2 shots. And
which you were golfing a lot.
And I was golfing a lot. Yeah. But the other thing about that is it adds up. I was spending like $500 a month just on alcohol at the country club because I was golfing a lot and I was drinking a lot. So I shut it down and completely, erased that from my life. And unfortunately or fortunately, I put a drink back in my body about 2 months ago when I got my first hole in one. Thank you. It'll probably never happen again, but at least I have one and Richie doesn't.
Yeah, dude. I know that ate him up. I mean, the fact that you and Colton have gotten a hole in one and the fact that Colton, dude. Wow. Colton got, I mean, he said, I don't know why he would lie.
And so let me guess, did he hit a putter off of a hole that was 100 yards long and he just rolled it up, Texas wedge style?
No, I don't. I think we'll have to talk to him about it tomorrow. Okay. Because we're all golfing for our fantasy football draft tomorrow, which is awesome.
Yeah.
No, dude, in Arizona, he got really into golf. And I truthfully, I believe it. Because I don't think Colton's one of those guys that would lie about it first off. And he's surprisingly pretty athletic.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got it. I think he grew up playing baseball. And he's got a good swing. And he started to get really into golf. And then he just sent us like a photo and he was playing with some random guy. I mean, and it just got it, bro. Yeah. It just got it. So he just went and drank with the guy. I mean, let's be real, bro. People play their whole life, like our boy Richie.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's been playing his whole life and he has yet to get one. I think it's a matter of time. I mean, he's so freaking good.
It's going to happen eventually.
Eventually, yes. But I hope I get one before he does because he'll fucking piss him off. Or I just hope I get one in general.
You know, it'd be great if you and Alex got one on the same date.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I got to get one before Alex, bro. We can't have Alex talking shit about getting the hole in one because we'll never hear the end of it, dude.
Never.
Yeah.
And it's going to be better than the one that you got.
Yeah. And it will be, Dovecchio Pond, dude.
Yeah. That's going to be the whole one. Yeah. But, I think it's also important to note that, removing the alcohol from my body was one thing, but it happened during the same time that I was really moving towards my faith. And, I've been given this body. It was something that I've been blessed with. And who am I to, put a lot of bad things in there? So the more that I learned about my faith, the more I wanted to do that was positive for my body. So, want to protect this temple. And if I'm supposed to, hurt myself from time to time, there's going to be a lesson to be learned there. But I'm not going to do it by putting alcohol or anything else negative in there.
Good. Love that. That's it. That's a really mature, thoughtful way of doing it. And I think, you kind of have that aha moment. And I mean, dude, I was guilty of, I had to catch myself with the alcohol. I've always been known to be the party guy and like to have fun in a good time. I mean, a little bit, but it's like a little bit, but it was never too excessive. But with my background and my parents being alcoholics and stuff like that, I had to really take a step back and realize when I was drinking at home by myself, I'm like, okay, now we got chill, bro.
Right.
And it's affecting everything else.
Everybody was drinking at home by themselves during COVID.
COVID, dude, the first 2 weeks of COVID was fun as hell.
Oh yeah.
Pop some White Claws, play some video games with your boys, playing poker.
Yeah.
Online.
I mean, all that's cool, but the White Claws, you know.
Yeah. Hey, dude. I used to hate on the White Claws for so long, or seltzers in general.
Yeah.
And then you actually have them, and then you don't feel like shit, and you're like, all right, these are easy. Yeah. It's like, all right.
Well, that's another thing that's important that you just hit on. When you're drinking, your workouts are going to be terrible the next day.
Yeah.
And you drink too much,
Yep.
You're not leaving your couch, your bed, you're, you know, filling your belly with fast food. And, yep. you know, now you're looking at all these other calories that you have to burn off. And it just makes life a lot more difficult when, you know, you're putting those kinds of things in your body when you have different goals. So it's just when you weigh the pros and cons, it was an easy decision for me to say, I'm done.
Good.
Yeah. Done.
Yeah. Yeah. I think eventually I might, I don't know. I've always like, cause like nowadays, like I am like very, I've cut back so much. Like I probably drink once, twice a month.
Good.
And then, you know, it's, I drink more of like occasions, right? So like, I'll have a couple of beverages tomorrow for sure. Cause I kind of also like to think of like, I like to have a good time and I think if in moderation, I think if you do it, you know, correctly, I think it can be okay. But you also got it like what you said, you know, I'm planning ahead and knowing like, okay, if I do have some beverages tomorrow, well, I am not going to feel the best on, you know, the next day. And even the following day, I mean, hangovers are a real thing, you know, when you hit your 30s and, you know, your fitness will suffer because of it. But I'm with you, man. I love that you're doing that. I am curious what has been the difference, because a lot of golfers, including myself in the past, have to drink.
Get that confidence to play. Juice going.
Yeah, swing juice. Yeah. And that's like a mindset, because it's a stressful game. It's very hard, especially when you're playing with people you want to play good with. Like you're like, you've been looking forward to it all week. You really want to play well. So what has it done now that you don't drink? What has it done to your game? Have you noticed your game has gotten a lot better? Are you sharper on the course? Like, I would love to hear your thoughts.
Now, funny thing is, you know, when I lived out here, that's when I made the big changes in my life, you know, with the alcohol, with my fate.
Yeah.
And going back home, you know, I lived in Tampa again. You know, I came back a different person. And, you know, my friends were like, "Why are you drinking? You know, what is this guy being about?" And I continue to make statements like, you know, I gave up drinking and I'm no fine anymore. And the reality is my game is completely the same.
Okay.
You know, there are going to be good holes, bad days. And it's more about understanding how to hit that reset button.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things don't feel right with your swing. Get back to the tempo. You know, think about one thing and one thing only. You know, clear that checklist off your mind. We're not pilots out there, right?
Yeah.
So I'm exactly the same person, you know, as far as personality is concerned. And you know, when I
get still throwing clubs if you hit a bad shot.
Yeah. it's not necessarily a throw anymore, but it's so weird because you know, Florida is so humid, right?
Yeah.
It's like the clubs get slippy.
Yeah.
So you know,
I have seen one of these before.
Well, there's no more tomahawk throws.
Okay, that's what good.
You're saying.
Good.
If I do throw a club now, it's and I drop it. But I have a rule though. Every time I drop the club in that fashion, I have to do 25 push-ups.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, hold me to that tomorrow.
All right. Well, you're not going to. It's going to be too much fun.
That's right.
Dude, I remember when we played Breckenridge for Richie's bachelor party, and I hit a bad shot, and I grabbed my club and hit it on the golf bag. Broke my 7-iron.
Was it the 7-iron I gave you?
No. Okay. This was years ago. No, those clubs are gone. But I like... I don't know if it was Richie. I think it was Richie, man. Like, I think he was like, "Hey, man, like, you shouldn't get that upset about." I mean, we're out here to have fun. It's like you're not, like, you're an amateur golfer. Like, especially at that time, there's no reason to get upset.
Yeah, you're not setting any course records.
And I was like, "God, man," I was like, "You know, you're right." I was like, "Cause I mean, whoever was around me and whoever, like, who wants to play with someone that's just like getting mad after." After that and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, you're right. And so, especially in golf, you're going to hit bad shots.
Oh, you got to expect it.
You got to expect it. Yeah. I mean, dude, Scotty this week, watching him like just slice it and then end up in like dog shit and then just be like, okay, I'm just going to hit it right back out in the fairway 20 yards. And then you think like for normal guys, you're going to end up with a bogey, double bogey. He puts it where it needs to be. He's got 140 yards in, puts it between like 5-6 feet, still a safe spot. I mean, right. Dude.
And what would have happened? How stupid would he have looked if he threw his club after the shot that put him in danger to begin with?
Right.
Right.
Right. So there's something to be said about that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I watched him either last week or the week before that. And he was getting frustrated. Like, yeah. I've never seen him all year show that kind of emotion, because he was a hothead early on in his career. And his caddy that came over, like his new caddy, you know, since like the last 3 years, was like, that was like their first talk, was like, hey man, you've been a hothead.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm gonna caddy for you, no more hothead. Mm-hmm. Like, what a difference, man.
Oh yeah.
I'm not saying you're a hothead.
Not since I'm awesome.
Yeah. By the way, I got it. Like, I heard Donnie might have beat you today with handicap. Okay, yeah. Donnie, hey, what's up? I got your bag, man.
Hey, I'll tell you what. With handicap or without handicap, I want my boys to play their best round.
Dude, he's been playing really good.
So
he's playing better.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I didn't realize that Lightning could strike twice in the same spot multiple times, you know, throughout the round. I was just like, whoa, dude, who are you?
Dude,
so
he, you know, what's funny about Donnie, bro, is like, he walks up and just like, he surprises the shit out of you, because he'll hit one shot, but then he'll like pipe one and just like,
yeah,
dude.
It was all about the vibes. We had good vibes.
That's like, what I'm talking about. Donnie is by far one of my favorite people to golf with, just because it's always a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Always a good time.
I played terrible. But
it just
had less, right?
That's going to be tomorrow, dude. Don't get me wrong. We're playing a nice course. So, like, I would like to score well. But, like, I also, like, had to take a step back and realize that stop trying to go out and don't think about scoring. Just fucking go out, have a good time, and just play, like, over the ball. Just be athletic. Try to hit a good shot one at a time.
Yeah.
The score works itself.
Well, be present, right? And I think it's a good segue back to fitness, right? It's, I told you before, my workouts with Corey are hard.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But I'm not focused on the result. I'm not focused on the outcome. I'm focused on being there, working as hard as I possibly can. And you know, if I get more definition or vascularity, great. If I don't, I'm still taking care of that beat, man.
Yep.
My heart is still, you know, I think my heart health is evaluated lower than my actual age.
Okay.
So,
good.
You know, I don't know how trustworthy that application I have with my scale is, but, you know, I get on there occasionally.
Okay, somewhat.
Check it out.
Yeah.
So
good.
But yeah, it's staying present in the workout and appreciating the fact that you can do this, right? And as hard as it is, that's all growth, right? That's all your mind over matter. It's being able to do things that you think that you couldn't do. It's about pushing through obstacles and barriers. And that makes you well-positioned in life to approach those challenges in the same methodical way, you know, life or work or whatever the case may be.
Do you, it's a really good lead in is something I wanted to ask you about, because something that I've been journaling, you know, I journal a lot. I'm a big fan of journaling. And something I, you know, saw the other day was that, you know, I think it was Denzel Washington that said, like, hey, first thing you wake up, don't look at your phone. Don't do this. Don't do that. He's like, just sit there. Just think, like, just be grateful. Enjoy having the ability to wake up. And I think there's just so much to be said about that, dude, because it's like, how often with the stimulation that we have nowadays, with the crazy schedules that we all have and how busy all our lives is, that we just get up and think we just gotta be like, boom, boom,
boom. Yeah.
But if you take a moment and just do your appreciate, like you said, man, being intentional, being present. I personally, like, I write down every time I wake up. So I'd be like, okay, I woke up at 6 a.m. or 6:15 or whatever. And I write what I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. And I try to set the tone, you know, for the whole day. Because, you know, who knows, bro? I could lose my legs in, like, You never know. Right. You never know.
But you are.
I hope not, dude. Maybe. I love my legs. I love all the stuff that I do.
You can't get rid of that silly tattoo anytime.
Oh, dude, the tattoo. Yeah. one day, maybe.
Well, that's part of my morning routine.
Good.
You know, when I take a shower, okay. I almost think of it as a baptism. So
cool.
I'm washing away from the sins of yesterday and starting my day with a prayer of gratitude, right? All the things I'm, you know, very, very blessed with, you know, my wife, my house, my family, my job, my friends.
Good, dude.
You know, my double life out here in Colorado.
And you, I'm sorry, did you say you write it down?
Or
do you
No, it's just my prayer in the morning.
Awesome.
Cool. You know, there's times where if I had any kind of, you know, epiphany or something, you know, very, very profound happened throughout the workday, you know, that's the stuff that I'll write down. You know, I mentioned to you, I had an incredible leader, and he just passed a couple of weeks ago. Bill Cage was the most incredible man. And, you know, I'm kicking myself a little bit because one of the things I was working on was I wanted to create a top 10 list of the Billisms and all of the things that I wrote down that I learned from him along the way. I wanted him to frame it and, you know, recognize the little things that, you know, he just says so naturally that have been, you know, transformational for me.
That's awesome.
You know, one of my favorite quotes that he has, you can apply this to sports, is you can do everything right and lose, or you can do everything wrong and win. But when you put your value in outcome, you'll never be satisfied. So it really, you know, we do a lot of competitive RFPs, and, you know, most of our business, we're in competition with another vendor.
Right.
And, you know, there has been those times where did everything right, and I would beat myself up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't learn much from beating yourself up. You learn by picking yourself up and moving forward. What are some of the elements of that deal cycle that I can build into a successful framework before it becomes, you know, a repeatable process, right? And, you know, Bill used to say, you know, now Eric, I know you're going to grieve on this one a little bit. Take the rest of the day, do what you got to do, and play to God.
Because
tomorrow's another day.
Damn.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
And that's, I mean, you can apply that to everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's huge, man. That's huge. So is there, and I'm sorry about that. I know I've already, you know, told you that.
I appreciate it.
I'm bummed about that, especially just kind of the way it happens. It sucks, dude.
Well, you know, like I said before, you know, when I get to the gym, it sounds silly, but I want to make Corey proud.
Yeah.
You know,
that sounds silly.
And, you know, work, I wanted to make Bill proud. And, right. You know, the workout stuff is, you know, I want my niece and my nephew to see their uncle working hard here, and I want them to be proud. Right. I want to set the example for them. And I think it's working so far.
Absolutely. No, it is. And even if you don't, I mean, you're doing it for the right reasons, and it's people notice, bro.
Well, I think that anytime anybody sets a goal for themselves, you have to go back to the, I'm not sure if you've heard of Simon Sinek. He does TED Talks. He's a serial entrepreneur.
Okay.
And he had this segment about start with why, right? So what's your why? So anybody going into a new, you know, fitness outlook, routine, plan, whatever it is, you have to understand your why. Why am I doing this? And there's times when I get done with the work, I'm like, why am I putting myself through this? And then I remember, I want to live long, right? I want to be able to, I want to be distinctive. You know, when I'm working these trade show booths, you know, if somebody sees somebody working in a booth who's fit, you know, that's an area of conversation, right? 100%. And if it's something that's working for me, I mean, you know me, I'm going to tell you. You may ask me a question like, how are you doing? I'm going to give you a damn long answer that you weren't looking for. So if somebody comes up to me and asks me, you know, what do I do to stay in shape? I'm going to tell you all of it.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's fun to talk about. That's why we started this.
Right.
Yeah.
But
it's a contagious feeling, isn't it?
It's a contagious feeling, but it's a greater calling, mm-hmm. right? You know, God's put me in that position at that booth, and somebody who's struggling with, you know, maybe their diet or implementing routine or just getting started or getting back into it or, you know, working through an injury.
Right.
You know, I all those challenges myself, and, you know, I'm not the, you know, the standard bearer here, but I am a model of consistency. Oh. And it's because I have my North Star. I have my why that keeps me kicking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being that I was so undersized growing up and, you know, underestimated, that was something that I could control with my body. Mm-hmm. It was 125 pounds when I graduated high school. So I'm like, you know, 172 now. But,
okay.
You know, it's, you know, I like to stay around that, you know, no more than 13% body fat. You know, getting anything less than that, you know, you're really having to do a very strict diet. And luckily for me, you know, my wife is a personal chef.
Right.
And when we started dating, you know, she'd look at my refrigerator and she's like, what is this, a frat house?
Yeah.
I got pizza boxes.
Yeah,
You know, way back there, I got some chicken wings that've been there for about a month.
Yeah.
Still good. They're still good. Right. Got some nachos that I got from 7-Eleven that are still in there, you know, just all the best of beer and whatnot.
Yes.
And, you know, my father would come over to watch football games from time to time and, you know, he'd go to the fridge and grab whatever, you know, that he figured that he liked. And when my wife moved in, he went in the fridge. Yeah. What is all this rabbit food? What are you best of all? When you start eating this crap? You know?
Yeah.
And, now I can't wait to eat, like, you know, asparagus or broccoli, beets. You know, those are the two things. If I could have beets and asparagus in every meal, I wouldn't need my espresso. I wouldn't need, you know, alternate source of energy, right?
Where do you get your protein, mostly?
Well, mostly the diet, you know.
Yeah, I do. But have, I mean, like, are you a... Do you eat a lot of chicken, fish, steak? What's kind of like
more
of
you? I'm not really into fish. No. So I don't do fish.
And yeah. Same.
My wife doesn't like to cook pork. You know, her mom told her when she was young, she said, you know, my wife asked her mother, well, why don't we have bacon? She said, look at those things. You see those pigs? You want to put a pig in your body? Right? So,
right.
So she's always been a real clean eater,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, not traditional. There's no chicharrón in our house ever. Right.
Right.
And, so she cooks me, she does a lot on the crock pot. And so it's a girl, it's one of my favorites because
you can get some recipes for me. Cause I eat kind of the same stuff all the time, but it gets old.
Yeah.
You know, I like to mix it up in the crock pot. Is just such a game changer because it's like boom, set it and forget it.
Yeah. Well, you know, like the shredded beef,
yeah.
I can eat it with rice. I can eat it, you know, rice and vegetables. Yeah. So I have a pretty consistent style of nutrition on a daily basis. You know, there's a vegetable, there's a carb, and there's protein. And it's not like I'm counting all my macros or anything like that. So I let my wife.
But,
you know, I try to stick to some kind of formula, you know, half of my body weight of protein on a daily basis, you know, with water, I try to have at least 170 ounces of water a day to hit my body weight. But, you know, my wife is, you know, she's cooking lunch and dinner for me just about every day. On the weekends, we live, you know.
Yeah, you should.
We will order a pizza.
Yep.
And that'll make the workout a lot harder the next day, but still.
Yeah.
You gotta have to come for
80% of the time.
Your cheap food.
80% of the time, eat clean. You're fine the rest.
Well, I do 70%.
Eat a 7. Like, I feel like if most people ate clean 70% of the time, it would just make a huge difference, especially how processed and crap American food is.
Yeah. I mean, that's the luxury I have at home with her. Well, it's a blessing and a curse.
Right.
Because she believes in getting good quality food. And
she wants you to be around too.
Well, I don't know why. That's what she tells me.
Yeah.
I want you to eat well because I want you to be around for a while.
Totally.
You liar. Yeah. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Yeah.
So we'll do, do a lot of chicken breasts. Chicken breasts. Shredded chicken from the crock pot. She makes the most amazing tacos. I mean, you hear tacos, you're like, that's not like a gourmet Michelin style kind of meal. Boy, the way she does it, forget about it. We also, I love Italian food, and she gets these healthy noodles. I don't know what, there's
a way to do it. There's love it. I remember when that was over, she had those gluten-free chips that were amazing. And my wife's celiac, so it was like, okay, we got to get these in the house.
You know, and that's a thing that a lot of people neglect.
Yeah.
I don't have the time. I don't have the know-how. It's too much effort. You know, there's always some kind of excuse to satisfy your hunger with fast food, right? And everything that's in fast food is all processed stuff.
It's so good sometimes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I'll say it anyway. There have been times when I have had a Chick-fil-A meal and I hid the evidence.
Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you hid eating Chick-fil-A from your wife?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you found something in Chick-fil-A. I was like, Brent, don't ruin Chick-fil-A.
Oh, no. Never.
They know what's best.
No. I mean, it's to the point where, I'll bring Chick-fil-A to my sister because she lives like a mile away from me. And my niece and my nephew bring them Chick-fil-A. I'm not being nice. Bringing them Chick-fil-A so I can eat Chick-fil-A without my wife's in the Chick-fil-A bag in the trash.
You remind me of the grown-up scene. Like, Kevin James is talking about hiding candy bars for his wife. And I'm like, dude, we're at that age now. It's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's literally like the stuff he never used to get
now
as you, grow and
what's great about it is, after our meetings on Wednesday, there's a couple of the other partners, and we're talking about Taco Bell.
Mm.
And this guy told me, he said, my wife is really critical about Taco Bell. She just wanted to bring it home. And he said that the garbage can was already out because the next day trash was coming up. So he put the evidence in his trash can.
Oh, my God.
and he's like, he's clean. Well, apparently she took the dog for a walk, picked up the poop and put it in the garbage can. She's like, there's Taco Bell in there. And he says to her, man, we really got to say something to our neighbors. Why would they put their Taco Bell on garbage in my bin? I don't advocate for cheating on your spouse, but I confess, I have Taco Bell occasionally. I have fast food occasionally.
Yeah,
I pay for it.
But if that's the worst thing we're doing, you're doing okay.
Yeah, but I'm also like you, bro. I can't live in guilt. So
yeah, you tell her.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
And the only reason she's critical about it, a couple is she wants me eating healthy because she wants me around for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. And second thing is, when she makes her food, typically we have 2 or 3 days for leftovers.
Yeah.
So, with her meal prep company, the concept is fresh. So it's called Fresh Meals by Chef Julia. And it's about 48-hour shelf life that all of these meals have. And she's like, I'm already going to, Trader Joe's and Whole Foods and her whole paychecks or whatever you want to call it. So she's spending all this money on this high quality food. Here I am going to get Chick-fil-A. So that, you don't want to piss off a Latino man.
No, dude.
And the other thing, her main ingredient in her food, it's cooked with love.
Oh, God.
So, right. So I got to respect that. And,
you know. I thought you were going to say some. I was literally thinking, not that at all. Yeah, you got me.
Yeah, I know where you're going with that.
No,
baking powder.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, no, I wasn't even thinking that either. Dude, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
She's Colombian.
Yeah.
Put it together.
Oh, man. Well, dude, I honestly, I had like some stuff I was going to ask you, and we kind of touched on it naturally, man. Yeah. Cool. This was a really good conversation. Anything else?
We're recording.
Yeah, there you go. Oh shit. It's a hit play.
Well, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention is, you know, all of the things that I'm doing, you know, with that massage therapy, you know, I look forward to that the most because it is that mind body and you're so relaxed and it's the best way to decompress.
Yeah.
You know, if you have an injury, you know, she's able to help you recover quicker so you can do those exercises again. So, you know, getting a bigger Popeye arm and then you got, you know, take my other hand.
Yeah.
Arm, right?
Yeah. Dude, I'm definitely gonna get her info from you.
Yeah, well, there's one here locally. Okay. Her name is Lynn, and
but yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Lynn Haven. I'll get you her info. I'm telling you, there is nobody better. I mean, I'm here and I'm in Colorado. First thing I did when I knew I was coming out here, I sent her a text. I said, "Can you work me in?
Yeah.
Can you do a weekend?" And she did. And you know, she's the type that. She's a perfectionist in a way where if she knows you're in pain, she's going to stay longer and she's going to work on you and she's going to make sure you feel right. And, you know, whatever you came in with, it's feeling better before she lets you leave. Awesome. So it's not that she's, you know, her talent is immense. You know, she really understands how to find those trigger points, that root cause of where the injury starts. It's her compassion. It's her kindness. It's the way that she lives her life. She brings into her profession, and they come. They are therapists, and in a couple of ways, right? So, you know, it's a safe place to kind of be vulnerable, and also at the same time get your body treated.
Yep.
So,
awesome.
Anybody in the Denver area, you gotta check out Lynn Haven. She's dynamite.
Love it, man. Love it. You can tell it's like helping you out big time. Yeah, so that's great.
Got to the golf course today after a massage. And
dude, you've golfed cryo every day since you've been here, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, my first day was.
Oh, it was for work.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, that's right. I've worked both days that I was here. I didn't swing the club on Friday, but I did get hit by a golf ball on Thursday. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You showed me that. Is it getting worse?
It's just a different color bruise now.
Oh man. Well, dude, you're awesome, man. Thank you so much for flying out.
Only to do the podcast.
Yeah. Obviously for our draft, but like thank you so much for taking the time to do this because I've you know, been lucky enough to, you know, meet you through golf and then we've grown to be friends and you know, you've been like mentor and stuff like that to me, like through a lot of stuff. So appreciate you coming on, man.
My brother, this is fun.
Right on, dude. Yeah.